Not the boring, generic milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I'd describe him as the best, obviously.
Kettles.
He throws it out there. Speaks his mind. That's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Kettles and Rami. Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
I'll tell you what. Every time I'm gone for like a week or so, mm-hmm. and I wipe this thing down, this counter.
Yes.
Awful. Awful. And we pay like a cleaning service, don't we? We have people that come in and
I think so.
Yes, every night.
I assume so.
Yeah.
Well, they obviously do not get the memo about the countertops.
I think they're going more after like trash bags and things like that. Yeah. I don't think they're
wiping things down.
No.
Not like common spaces with a Lysol wipe every once in a while?
I don't think so.
Apparently not.
I've never seen them at work, so I can tell you, but the results would indicate.
I mean, we talk about the Lysol wipe. It was like black. When I was done wiping right in front of me. So anyway, thanks for joining us as always. Happy Monday to you and yours. Very much appreciated. He's Rami, I'm Cattles, Sactown Sports. Rami, on Friday, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but on Friday, something big's going to happen. On Friday, NBA free agency is going to hit us in the face.
I had not heard.
Yeah. I might have some breaking news.
Is that a big deal?
Feels like
NBA
breaking news.
NBA free agency?
Yeah, it's quite the big deal, especially when the Kings have like $36 million in cap space. So that's going to happen on Friday, which means this week is going to be bananas. Can we just start the show today and acknowledge and maybe even embrace the idea that this week is going to be bat bleep crazy with rumors?
That bananas are on the way?
Yes.
Okay.
This is going to be...
Chicken.
I can agree to that.
Nonstop.
I hope so, at least.
Ridiculosity is going to happen in the NBA this week. We're going to hear all sorts of rumors. We're going to hear roughly 35 dudes linked to the Kings. We're going to go through it all. We're going to have our fun. But that's what this week is. It's a busy, busy rumor week. So we start here with the Kings, Rami. Sasha Vezenkov reportedly has been offered a contract by Monty McNair. And we've been talking about this for, it feels like, I don't know, a year, ever since the Kings acquired the rights to Vezenkov. Was he going to come to Sacramento? How much was he going to ask for? Would they afford him? Did they want to afford him? What were they going to offer him? Well, according to Harry Stavro of Greek outlet Sport24.gr, the Kings offered Sasha.
It's my go-to.
Go-to.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of my show prep every morning.
I have it as a bookmark on my Chromebook.
Yeah, obviously.
At the top, always go check
Were you
check
guys
out.
Reading the article in Greek this morning to get all the details?
You know I was, Kyle.
You know fluent in Greek. Fluent in Greek right
like
here.
You have to ask
100%.
That.
So here's what was written in Greek. The Kings have offered Vezenkov an NBA contract worth part of their $12.4 million mid-level exception, or quote-unquote slightly lower than the $8.4 million Keegan Murray will make. Now, I'm not going to glaze people's eyes over, okay? But the Kings, if they act as a cap space team, they do not have the full mid-level exception. They don't have the $12.4 million. They have another exception that's called the room exception, which is $7.7
million. The room exception?
Yes.
I've never heard of the room exception.
It's a great time. It's when you're under the cap. When you're under the cap, you're still allowed an exception.
What does
that
even mean?
It means you have room. You have room under the cap. So it's the room exception. Telling you. I mean, do you think the NBA thought hard and long about this? So, I think what they're talking about is, and it really kind of marries with this report saying that Vezenkov would make slightly lower than Keegan at $8.5 million. The room exception, $7.7 million, slightly lower than the $8.5 million. So it looks like the Kings have offered Sasha Vezenkov their exception, their room exception for about $7.7 million. Are you okay with Sasha Vezenkov at around $8
million? That sounds, based on previous reports that we had heard, Nick, that he was looking to net $5 million when he came over to play in the NBA to make it worth his while to come over and do that. We figured it was going to take somewhere in the $10 to $12 million range, that mid-level exception, not the room exception,
right,
but that mid-level exception that they have. If he'll come over for this, it's a cheaper price tag than what we thought it might be. And this offseason continues to get better for the Sacramento Kings. That is, but if that's not enough, then as we've said, you and I are both pretty convinced that Sasha Vezenkov, he's not the entirety of Plan A, but right. he's a pretty big piece of the puzzle of Plan A. And if that's not enough and that's all they're willing to offer him at this point, well, then it's on to Plan B and you start putting together that puzzle, whatever it might look like. That sounds cheaper than what we thought it might be, though.
I'm okay with it. I'm more than okay with
very
it.
Very good with it.
If you can pay him this room exception, if you can pay him just under $8 million to start off here in year one, and of course the deal would escalate from that point, but not by a ton, it makes a lot of sense. You know, the prior conversation you and I had about Vezenkov, $9 million, $10 million, I said I would not go to $10 million, I would not go to $12 million. Well, now it's a different set of circumstances. First of all, 7.7 is not 10, is not 12, so you're getting them for cheaper. Number two, you now have $36 million or so, give or take a few hundred thousand, of cap space. You've got that cap space now that you've created by trading Rashawn Holmes into that trade exception from Dallas during draft night. So you have a lot more money at your fingertips than you did going back a month and a half ago when we first approached the idea of paying Vezenkov $10, $12 million. You also, Rami, have the trade exception for about $12 million from Dallas. So you have a lot of different, you know, aspects or tools at your disposal that you can use to acquire talent. So if you dump $8 million in Vezenkov, you still have $36 million in cap space, you still have this trade exception, and you still have assets like Davion Mitchell that you can trade.
Right, so if they use the room exception, that means that they don't eat into any of the $35 correct. Million that they have in cap space?
Correct.
I'm so confused.
Therefore, the exception.
What even is that?
Not even going to lie. Someone was saying they have like negative $26 million in practical cap space. None of it makes sense.
So if you just look at it,
don't
that's
do that.
I think that's because they haven't renounced anybody officially yet. You have to officially renounce your free agents. If you don't, they're cap holds.
I see. Okay.
So all like right. Harrison Barnes right now, his salary is a cap hold on your cap because
gotcha.
What was happening was teams were circumventing the rules. They were keeping guys on their, like not on their books, but they had agreements behind closed doors. Like Monty would be like, hey, Harrison, we're going to bring you back. And then they get $36 million in cap space and they would get Harrison back and a bunch of other dudes. So the NBA said, no, you've got to keep that person on your cap with a cap hold. But they do have about $36 million in cap space. They have the exception. They have the trade exception from Dallas. So all in all, Rami, when you look at it, the Kings have around $55 million to play with via trade, via exception, via cap space. That's a buttload. So I'm no longer worried about paying Vezenkov $9, $10 million because you have a whole heck of a lot more.
I'd be willing to go up another million or two
because
if that's what it took.
You're not paying Vezenkov now because remember, this is the domino effect, right? If you're paying Vezenkov around $8 million, he's a bench guy, clearly, and you have other big fish that you can net with the other assets and tools that you have.
Take care of y'all chicken.
So Vezenkov can end up being your third or fourth biggest, quote-unquote, acquisition of the offseason. We're no longer talking about this guy being the biggest or second biggest acquisition of this summer. That's how things changed on draft night for the Kings. That's how big that trade was. Because there's a lot of different avenues now that you can attack and bring in talent. We want your thoughts on this report from Greece that Sasha Vezenkov has been offered the exception from the Kings, it sounds like, which would be around $7.7 million, slightly lower than Keegan Murray, what he's going to make this year. Are you good with that? Rami and I are certainly good with it. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. You can check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. We'll get to your reaction on Vezenkov in this report. Also, did the Kings just tell us that they plan on big game hunting on Friday? Latest in 90 seconds.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Kings are going to make some big, big, big moves, I think, Rami. That Rashawn Holmes trade. Look, you're not trading a first-round pick last week. Unless you got your eyes on something.
Yeah.
Or a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trading a first-round pick to create that cap space unless you have a pretty good idea as to what you might be able to get via free agency. That's just my two cents.
No, you know, that move was made to make moves.
Yes. Alan Diamond is wondering, do we just stay screwed on rebounds? No. No. I think they'll address the boards. They'll address several things.
We were talking about a Sabonis extension in the chat, which is what led to that comment.
Ah, I see.
Well, we won't get into that right now. We don't need to get into the Sabonis extension idea just yet. We have plenty of other things to discuss. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later in the week. I will tell you about the extension stuff, though. I don't know what the rush is. So, Atlanta, speaking of feeling rushed, Atlanta was trying to rush John Collins out the door for like 3 years. This guy was in more trade rumors than anybody I could ever remember.
He might have been the most rumored guy not to move.
It's like every day.
For the last couple of years.
Like Brooke Lopez on the Nets. Every year, the same time, there'd be trade rumors.
In season, out of season, nonstop, John Collins.
Including to the Kings two or three times.
I mean, the Hawks pretty much put this dude on the corner with like a come pick me up sign. Like he was left on the front
step. One of
those
sandwich board signs?
Yeah, like furniture you're trying to get rid of. You just put it out in the front, hope somebody picks it up with their pickup truck.
I like to imagine Kevin Pritchard of the Pacers just driving by and then trying to look the other way.
I mean, Collins was just, they were dying to give this guy away. Well, today it finally happened. So congratulations to the Atlanta Hawks.
Taker.
Mission accomplished. Put the banner up behind you during the press conference. You were able to get rid of John Collins. And boy, man, oh man, what an illustrious package of assets they received for John Collins. After 3 years of nonstop trade talk, John Collins gets traded to the Jazz for Rudy Gay and a second round pick.
This has always been a thing, but I think this new CBA and all the luxury taxes that are coming with it, Nick, are look at what Bradley Beal got traded for. Teams are offloading money. Like that is an asset in and of itself at this point, is to just get rid of money and stay under that luxury tax that's gonna be hefty. Under this new CBA, I think you're going to see more and more of this, of teams unloading good basketball players for what seems like not a lot of assets, but when you look at why they are doing it, it turns out it's just to unload money.
And here was ESPN's Bobby Marks on the salary dump.
This is an example of the new collective bargaining agreement. We sent out the article, we put out the article this morning as far as the spending tiers of free agency. The Hawks were in the tier 5 when it comes to free agency, the dreaded first and second apron teams. They were a luxury tax team. They were over the first apron. They were headed toward the second apron. They were in basically financial purgatory because of all their contracts, the Collins contract, the DeAndre Hunter contract, the Trae Young contract. And for them to get out of purgatory, they had to make a salary dump. And it's fine to admit that you made a salary dump. When you trade John Collins for Rudy Gay, it's a salary dump.
Yeah. I mean, Rudy Gay, one of my favorite players for quite a while. I loved Rudy Gay. Obviously, I grew up in New England. Remember watching him play college, all that good stuff. Big fan of Rudy Gay. But anything short of Rudy Gay would have been a bag of basketballs at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they're giving away. They're giving away like a turkey sandwich for John Collins.
Your boy Danny Ainge strikes again.
That's what's happening here. So a turkey sandwich, maybe some veggie straws on the side. Maybe. Second round pick, maybe the veggie straws. It depends on if that second round pick will be even better. I'm a big fan. Ranch veggie straws. Healthy for you. They're good. So the first thing.
Crunchy snack?
It's like, chips, but not really. Straws instead of chips.
You've seen them before, Rami.
Yeah,
have I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, they're pretty good.
Absolutely.
They're multicolored. Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like a snack Friday coming up.
Looking at them now. No.
So the first thing I thought about, because you just mentioned this a few minutes ago, the Kings had been one of those teams. I know Dave in the morning, right? Carmichael Dave was big on this last year, and there were reports that the Kings were discussing John Collins, that they might have even been close. If you read some people write about the topic. That they wanted John Collins, they were interested in. So the first thing that jumped into my mind when I saw this, aside from John Collins just got traded for a turkey sandwich, was
turkey sandwich.
The Kings were not interested in John Collins right now for a turkey sandwich. They have the cap space. They could have given anything away, nothing away for John Collins, and Monty McNair said thanks, but no thanks. That tells me, Rami, that either they did not want Collins, which I don't think is the case, because again, they had shown interest in him for the last year or so. It's not that they hate the player. Mm-hmm. It's not that they would not be interested. What this tells me, I believe, is that the Kings believe they have a better option set up soon, whether it's free agency or a trade. They believe they have something lined up that to them is much more sexy and desirable than John Collins was.
Yeah, because they've clearly been interested in him, Nick. You don't see the number of rumors that we've seen concerning John Collins and the Kings unless Monty McNair or somebody who has the ear of Monty McNair has some serious interest in that dude and thinks that he's a pretty good ball player and could come here and help. But clearly he was available, and he was available for not a lot in return, just to take that money off their hands. And the Kings could take money off their hands with the newly discovered cap space that they found on draft night, and they just chose not to get in on that. I mean, you're right. Rudy Gay would be who off the Kings roster? Who are we talking about? You're not even giving up Davion Mitchell. You know what I mean? You're not giving up. I don't even know who it would be.
Kessler Edwards.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be a Kessler Edwards for John Collins.
Yeah. I mean.
And they were like, nah, we're good. Thanks. We got bigger, better fish to fry.
There really wasn't anything of consequence given up. So even if the Kings just said, hey, we'll ship you a couple of second round picks, the reason why Utah threw Rudy Gay in the package is probably because they just wanted to get Rudy Gay off the roster. He was wasting a roster spot. The Kings, because they had the cap space, could have offered a couple of seconds or a second round pick and took Collins off of Atlanta's hands. So that tells me that the Kings and Monty McNair have somebody else or maybe a couple of other people in mind. Now, from Utah's side of this, because they're obviously a Western Conference team, which will impact the Kings, they're a fascinating team, man. They got John Collins, Lauri Markkanen, and Walker Kessler now. That is a big...
I was just going to say, that's a lot of size.
...athletic team. And Markkanen could play the three. You might be able to get away with Collins playing the three, even though ever since the finger injury, his effectiveness shooting-wise has gone down. But when Quinn Snyder went to Atlanta, they told Collins to shoot more. And he did shoot better in stretches with Snyder in that system. Was that just because Collins' injury? Was it because he was playing with Murray and Young this year and they have the ball out in their hands? So I think, you know, Utah's kind of starting to grow on me here as a team that you got to watch for. They still have a bunch of cap space.
I was going
to
say, and they have a bunch of draft picks, don't they, in the next few coming drafts?
The Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got in the Rudy Gobert trade, which, thank you, Minnesota. I mean, they got a ton of assets, they got a ton of space, and they've got a team that already right now doesn't look too bad on paper.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
This was a no-risk deal for Danny Ainge. If you believe that John Collins, even if he gives you 15, 16 points a night, 7-8 rebounds, I mean, even if he gives you that for the next few years, you gave up nothing for him, and you had the cap space. So I think Utah's a fascinating team. Atlanta, they're trying to figure it out. Adrian Wojnarowski wrote today after he broke this story that, you know, they're still looking to make moves. DeAndre Hunter is reportedly on the block. I've read that DeJounte Murray might be on the block because they're not 100% certain that Murray is going to stay because he's got a big fat extension coming up. So they're a team in flux right now.
That thing fell apart fast.
If you read around, it certainly seems like Trae Young is the only guy that might be untouchable on that team. And that's something to say when you got Murray, you got Capella, you've got Hunter, you've got a lot of guys on that team. I think all of those guys I just mentioned have more value than Collins does. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Atlanta tries to put these pieces together.
I don't think they're going to be able to put it together in any real sort of way anytime soon.
You got to think they're looking at Jaylen Brown, by the way, like as the great hope. He's from Atlanta. You know, he's in his mid-20s. I think that's one of the guys that they would love to have.
I don't think he's going anywhere, though.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get the Supermax, and then it'll all be moot for a year once he signs that Supermax.
Right, because he can't be traded.
Quick update, Rami. The Jazz can have up to 13 first-round picks in the next 6 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Danny Ainge with, like, 13 first-round picks, cap space. I mean, it's – keep an eye on Utah.
Huh.
They're building something there.
Hmm.
And that's no joke. They are building something there. All right, we'll continue with basketball talk and more coming up next.
Town Sports
Headlines. I'm Simone with your Sactown Sports Headlines. Sacramento Kings wasted no time over the weekend pursuing EuroLeague MVP and Olympiakos star Sasha Vinchenkov. Sacramento has officially offered Vinchenkov an NBA contract worth part of their $12.4 million mid-level exception after clearing significant cap space last week by trading center Rashawn Holmes and the 24th pick to the Mavericks. Speaking of assets, the Atlanta Hawks are sending John Collins to the Utah Jazz, sources told ESPN on Monday. The trade creates a $25 million trade exception for the Hawks, the largest in the NBA. The Hawks are acquiring Rudy Gay and a future second-round pick for Collins. Atlanta has a year to potentially exercise the exception, and the trade cannot become finalized until next Thursday. I'm Simone. Those are your Sactown Sports Headlines. Welcome back in to Cattles and Rami.
Welcome back.
During the afternoon drive, Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
Let's hit up the text line, YouTube chat, youtube.com, Sactown Sports 1140. Willie Bowen bringing up Chris Middleton. Says he's 6'7". The Kings have enough small forwards. I don't think the Kings have enough small forwards. The Kings need wing help.
Yeah, I'll take Chris Middleton. We talked about that last week.
Out on Middleton.
Really?
Yeah. Out.
You're picky.
Out on Middleton.
You're picky.
Is that because of the price tag or the player?
Number one, if you're going to sign him, you're going to give him an obnoxious contract. Because his number one priority is to go back to Milwaukee. I think the only way he leaves Milwaukee is if you come way over the top. And that's if Milwaukee doesn't offer him what they can offer him, which is more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But you'd have to go way over the top, like $40 million a year. You're going to pay Chris Middleton $40 million a year. I'm out.
Maybe at that price tag. I was thinking in the 30 to 35 range.
I'm out. I mean,
I'd be in on that.
Like, even 35, I'm out. Even 30, I'm probably out. Even though he was born the same day I was born. Not same year, but shares August 12th as a birthday with
Wow.
him.
Look at you.
I just found that out when I Wikipedia.
Cash money.
I literally just Googled him, check on his age, and I was like, oh, August 12th. He was born 10 years after, to the day that I was born.
Wow. You got
10-year anniversary of my birth on Earth.
You got a birthday
Chris
coming
Middleton.
Up, huh?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to be 32 in August. He's had a bad knee.
Wrist surgery.
I could see him just declining rapidly. And all of a sudden, you got a guy in your books for like $35 million a year that's playing 30 games. I'd be afraid of that.
It'd be a bad look.
Be afraid of that. More reaction into the YouTube chat. Dwayne Baker says, Atlanta thinks they have the horses to get Jaylen Brown or Pascal Siakam. Siakam's somebody that's been mentioned. I was reading that today. That Atlanta's interested in Siakam. And I forget who Atlanta drafted. Kyle, can you look that up? They drafted somebody who... reportedly, the Raptors wanted, but Atlanta ended up drafting him. And the idea is that they might use that player as a chip. I don't remember who drafted who last week outside of the Kings. Because, first of all, the draft coverage stunk. My God, was that awful. Awful to watch. Awful to watch. Can we have any more family members sit on the couch for those interviews?
I saw you tweeting about that. They took Kobe Bufkin out of Michigan.
Yeah, so Kobe Bufkin. How about that name?
That's a strong basketball name right
so
there.
So Kobe Bufkin is the guy that apparently the Raptors were pretty high on. And so Atlanta ended up drafting him. So the idea is like, ooh, maybe they drafted him and they've had eyes for Siakam. Maybe they offer him as part of like a big package to go to Toronto for
That's so
for Siakam.
Weird because the Raptors had the pick three picks before them and chose Grady Dick.
I don't know.
That's such a strange choice.
I am not going to say the joke that I had in my head right there for a second. It was sitting there on a silver platter. Just sitting there, you know?
Yeah, I had to do that a lot Thursday and Friday.
So,
I'm proud of you guys.
To power through. I can still do it at any moment. I'm trying to power through as we speak.
Just hold back.
If you want a guy, you want a guy, right?
Right.
And if that's the guy you want.
Exactly.
Then.
Exactly.
Got to go for it. So that's been mentioned, Siakam. Again, Jaylen Brown's not going anywhere for a year. He's going to end up signing the Supermax. And as soon as he signs that, he is in Boston until next July. He's going nowhere. He might go somewhere after next July. And I think he wouldn't mind going somewhere else. I think Jaylen wants to be a number one. I think that's what he wants. He wants to be a number one guy.
But he wants that Supermax deal first.
Yes, of course. Yeah. That's a Bradley Beal.
Exactly.
Bradley Beal got his money. Yes. He knew he was going to be out of Washington within the next year or two. He signed the big fat contract extension, got his schedule, and then, you know.
He's like, hey, guys, I kind of want to get out of here.
You know, maybe being here is not great anymore. Yeah. Draymond Beam, by the way.
Turned into me after 2 hours of hanging out.
You know? Yeah. I'm out, you know.
There we go.
Felt good about it, but now I gotta. I gotta go. Draymond Beam in the YouTube chat. Y'all need defense. I'm your man. We'll talk about Draymond in a little bit. I will say that some of the Draymond talk has me scratching my head. Like, there are people, even here in Sacramento, that I appreciate, and I think that they're very smart basketball people.
Mm-hmm.
That are telling me about Draymond Green and what he can bring to this team. And I'm just left scratching my head. But we'll get to Draymond a little bit later on. But Draymond, Kings, all I'll say right now is that I might not be the most sold guy on that thought. Quickly, just want to mention this for a couple of minutes here. Some football talk, because this jumped out at me. So Vic Taffer at The Athletic did his mailbag with readers. And Michael S. sent a question into Vic and said, I know Mark Davis has said he wants stability, and that's fine, but if JMD fails this year, Josh McDaniels, and he puts in parentheses 4-13, with his chosen quarterback and other guys he handpicked, could you see him fired at year's end? And Taffer said, my opinion hasn't changed. This year's record doesn't matter. And McDaniels and general manager Dave Ziegler are counting on Davis's newfound patience to build the roster up the right way. Now, Taffer does say later on that if the Raiders, you know, don't at least match last season's 6 wins and the young talent doesn't look great and the fans turn on McDaniels, he does leave some wiggle room for Davis to change his mind and get rid of McDaniels. But it sounds like, according to Taffer, he thinks that McDaniels will be safe. He wins 6 games, 7 games this year. It's not going to matter, Rami.
I don't know how they did this. I don't know how Ziegler and McDaniels went from a year ago, hey, give me all the money I need to and all the assets I need to go and get Davante Adams, because we are ready to win football games right now. To 1 year later, I'm out on the quarterback.
Yeah.
I need to change the whole thing. We need to overhaul this entire defense. Like, I don't understand how in a matter of 1 year you convinced Mark Davis to make this 180 degree turn in terms of the direction of and the goals
right.
of this franchise.
Like, I don't understand. What I mean? Yeah, and it's mixed messages to me. Like, to me, McDaniels and Ziegler didn't necessarily choose a path. They didn't choose the rebuild path because they signed Chandler Jones and they signed Jimmy G.
They were trying to win last year.
Right.
And came up really, really short.
It seems to me that they moved the goalposts mm-hmm. as they continued to lose last year. It was like, oh, you know what? We're not trying to necessarily win 10, 11 games this year. That wasn't really the plan. Well, if you're a rebuilding team, you're not spending a ton of money on Chandler Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So,
thing is, we all see it, but it's not our money. The guy who's funding this whole thing, he seems to be going right along with it.
Well, you know, he's funded bad things before, like his haircut, and just continues to push on through.
Is he bald or does he have hair? Do we know? Have we seen him?
Last recently? We saw him was at the WNBA championship. He was bald.
Okay. All right. rocking the Lex Luthor. I like it. It's definitely it's better than the bowl.
I was just going
to
say.
Right?
Yeah.
We almost for sure better than the bowl.
Yes.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The bowl. Yeah. Come on.
Simone, a lady's opinion? You don't think so?
I mean, the bald, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. And maybe just it's because of what I'm used to. It's a lot.
By the way, just to update the Draymond talk, Chris Haynes apparently says that Draymond is open to taking free agent meetings with other teams. So
good for Draymond.
There's your latest on Draymond.
Pick up the phone, Monty.
By the way, all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda is your one-stop Honda shop. Will Rami drag Netflix and why? Find out coming up.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
My unfiltered, unadulterated thoughts on Draymond Green coming up in 15 minutes.
Oh. Are they FCC compliant?
Well, I don't want to get fired.
Okay.
So they are filtered.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can be unfiltered and not curse.
And not everybody has a potty mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
Kyle. Kyle. So,
I've hung out with Nick off the air. Never, ever.
Oh.
Has said a curse word.
Never curse.
Not once.
Telling you, I've got the cleanest vocabulary out of anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're constantly cleaning us up. It's crazy.
Simone had to deal with me on Saturday night a little bit for an hour or two.
Oh, yeah. You guys got together.
She did.
Huh?
She pulled the quasi-Rami, though. She was out quick.
I had places to be with my girls.
She was there for a good time,
Saturday
not a long
night.
Time.
Wow.
Good time, not a long time. She had to go hang out in her friend's backyard.
My God. Can I just talk about this very quickly? She lured us over to her backyard for a hot tub that wasn't hot.
Oh, jeez.
Shut it down.
And we're there for hours waiting for it to warm up.
Hold on. Hot tubs don't heat up fast.
Did you notice what she just said? She spent Saturday night with Kelly and I for probably 75 minutes.
Okay.
She just told us that she went to her friend's house.
She left y'all for a cold
for a hot tub.
Yeah.
That wasn't hot.
Yeah.
And I quote, we stayed there for hours
waiting for the hot tub to get ready. I needed the satisfaction of it actually being ready
to
receive
left and gone back. I would have left and gone back. I'd be like, you know what? Call me when it's actually ready. You had me come out here for nothing.
It's crazy.
Wasn't this the same friend that had a Fakakta TV
yes.
for the Super Bowl?
No, it's fine. The TV's fine, Nick. We're not really supposed to talk about that on air.
I'm not going into any kind of detail. I'm just saying. She had a TV situation for the Super Bowl.
And the Tubi commercial of it all, that's what threw me off.
Okay.
Yeah,
you told me about that friend.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. You guys have met her. Her name is Obi. She's lovely.
Yeah, I know Obi. Love Obi.
One Kenobi.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Yes. One more. Anyways, that hot tub situation was crazy.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi joke didn't hit at all?
Sorry.
Didn't hit there.
Wait, did that just go over your head, Rami?
No, I heard it.
Okay.
He just didn't find it funny.
Didn't hit. He was right.
It's fine.
So Obi-Wan was the one with the cold hot tub?
I find it very coincidental that Simone, who's a gigantic Star Wars fan, has a friend by the name of Obi.
It's perfect, right?
Yeah. I find funny in that. Rami doesn't. It's fine.
She has a dog named Abby.
Abby and Obi.
Beautiful.
Wasn't that like
cute.
Dave Letterman joke when he hosted the Academy Awards or whatever?
I don't remember that.
It was Oprah. He's making a joke about Oprah meet Uma or whatever the hell.
I have no idea what you're
talking about.
Two
weird names. It didn't hit.
Didn't hit.
The Letterman joke didn't hit.
Just like it's not.
Just
now.
Like my Obi joke didn't hit. But anyway, Simone would rather hang out and wait for a hot tub to get hot than hang out with me at a bar.
You were the secondary plan. You invited me out that afternoon.
It's getting worse. Wow. She thinks she's making better. And she's just making it
hurting
worse.
Your
you are secondary.
By the way, who texts this morning all fired up to hang out this weekend? I think it was one Simone.
It was Simone.
The truth is coming out about the hot tub and all this stuff.
Whatever.
Kyle just looked back and said, wait a minute. She was sending texts. I wasn't involved.
You're invited too, Kyle.
No, he's not. He's not in the group chat.
Simone and I hung out on Sunday.
Don't
it's
do
fine.
That.
Oh, look at that.
For more than 75 minutes, I bet you.
Yeah, about 90.
You guys are so petty, all of you.
Epic Airbnb says that it was a good joke. It was a bad delivery.
That's fair.
That might be
That's
right.
very accurate. Thank you.
Force is strong with this one.
It might be possible.
Excellent.
No, it wasn't.
It really wasn't. I don't even love that joke.
I don't know why she's doing this. All of us. But especially me.
Oh, it's going to be a week. All right, it's going to be a week.
So we'll get to Draymond Green in 10 minutes. But first, Rami, are you mad about Netflix or disappointed in Netflix bringing back Titanic? Because this is kind of a thing with Simone.
No. That's very good timing.
Simone, you're up in your feels about this, were you?
Why?
I just think it was quite a violent choice for them to decide. A little cold-hearted. Yeah, to
maybe
re-release
wait a
that.
Month or so?
Yeah, yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot, is what I say.
I bet a lot of people will be rewatching, no doubt.
There's interest in the Titanic right now, right?
You know how many times I've seen that movie?
How many?
Zero.
Really?
No!
0 point. I know really? What happened. I know the ending.
You know what? I respect that.
I don't need to watch it. What, I need to see Leo on the front of the ship?
Yeah, it's not a great movie.
With Simone.
What do you mean it's not a great movie? I'm about to have an aneurysm back here. You guys are saying so much wrong. Nick, you're so out of pocket for never seeing that movie, even for the popularity.
Out of pocket for not watching Titanic?
Yes. It's a cultural phenomenon.
The ship went down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a cultural phenomenon 25 years ago.
They hit ice. It didn't go well. It didn't end well.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful, romantic. Oh, my God. People are groaning back here.
Yeah,
Verlag
just gave
mic.
A visible ugh back here.
I heard him in my ear. I don't know if everybody else heard.
It's one of the most powerful, romantic storytelling that's out there.
Did I ever tell the story about when I saw Titanic on this show? I don't think I ever did.
No.
I didn't want to see it. Me and my friend, we were dating best friends, like these two girls that were best friends. We were like, we want to go see Titanic. We were like, all right, let's go. So we bought like 20 ounces of Coca-Cola and emptied out about 10 of those ounces and filled them up with.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah. Okay.
Something that was in Coca-Cola. And when that thing was going down and people were sliding across the deck, my friend and I were just laughing.
No.
Now that's terrible.
Yes. Yes.
Now that's awful.
I love that for you so much.
And nobody was pleased. Not our dates. not the rest of the people in the theater.
So you're saying you might have upset a few people.
Yeah.
As you chuckle through Titanic.
I wish I had been there for that because I would have been laughing with you.
Celine Dion. Oh! And Robbie's like, ah!
Shame on you. Shame on you. And I would have been weeping right next to you.
I mean, cackling.
Shame on you.
I mean, cackling.
Uncontrollable laughter.
Watching the scene with the old people in the bed and Rami's just like falling over on the floor.
Wow.
It was one of those things where, you know, one of us starts laughing and then the other one and then it snowballs.
I could not imagine. If Simone was in that theater, she would have jumped over rows of chairs drop kick you in the head.
No doubt in my mind or heart. Would have dumped popcorn on you.
Your heart would have gone on.
It was a compromise. We were like, we'll go, but.
Very, very, very dramatic movie.
Did you laugh when Leo was sinking to the bottom? Spoiler alert, Nick.
Chances are yes.
They all sank.
Not true.
No, they didn't. Yep.
25% survival rate.
Well.
That ain't bad.
No, that's really bad.
Could have been a lot better. They were pushing people off rescue boats. It was a whole thing.
75% sunk.
Yeah.
Including Leo, because you knew Leo had to sink. It wouldn't have been as romantic or dramatic if he survived.
It could have been beautiful. They would have lived their life together.
There was room on that door.
Being adventurous. And
there was room on that door.
Good to know that you set your expectations low, Simone. 25% is a successful endeavor.
For how catastrophic it was, that 25 is more than I thought. I thought like only like, I don't know,
no,
7% got off or something. Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't think so.
Like, not to bore people, but the story is because it was 4 times bigger than any other ship, they legally only had to keep 25% of the lifeboats, and then 25% of the people survived because they just had empty spots where lifeboats were supposed to be.
So what we've learned is greed.
Yes.
Again,
yes,
greed.
Yeah, been killing people for a long time.
This seems like a cash grab.
Tops on the list of kills. Yeah.
You know the
This really spun out of control.
Now, this might just be something I saw on Twitter that turns out not to be true.
Oh, okay. I love this game.
I know. My ears are perked up.
The woman piloting or captaining the now...
Definitely not piloting.
The submersible that just blew up.
Yes.
And the reason that Netflix is re-releasing the Titanic. Her grandparents.
Weren't they controlling it with a joystick?
And I thought it was all guys.
I think it was a woman, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Okay.
His or her grandparents were on the Titanic.
No, you're joking.
No,
for real. That's like a butt crack. You've gotten.
Rami's missing a couple details, but the story is correct.
What? See?
It's the like great great granddaughter of someone who's married to a person who
and
died.
She just died down there as well.
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, someone she's related to died on there, not her specifically.
Since we're talking about catastrophic events, shout out to Sully. He saved them all.
The pilot?
Yeah, he's the MVP.
Here, I have it right here.
You're talking about catastrophic events, how bad things can happen. He saved everybody.
I appreciate it. That's
a 100% survival rate, Simone.
I love it.
I have my facts straight. The wife of Stockton Rush, the pilot of the missing Titanic tourist submarine, is allegedly the great-great-granddaughter of two first-class passengers who died in the Titanic.
Allegedly.
If they died, how can you be the granddaughter?
Because they had children before they got on the boat, Simone.
Okay. I received that. I'm going to go ahead and pipe down.
That just happened.
Because it wasn't Noah's Ark.
That right there just happened. But they died. How do they have kids?
I'm sorry.
Simone's dying if that was Noah's Ark.
No. Wow. I was really ready to go there.
That was amazing.
It reminds me a lot of Wakanda. And then he had said, like, oh, my ancestors got off the ships. And I was like, how does that work? You know, I don't know.
Listen to this. Isidore.
Do I have to?
Isidore and Ida Strauss were notable figures who co-founded Macy's. And a fictionalized version of the couple is even featured in the movie.
Yeah, that was the joke I made earlier about you laughing on the ground in the theater as the two old people are in the bed.
Mm. Wow.
Draymond Green talk next.